wanted to talk about faith today. And I like spending time with the Lord in the morning. I get these little phrases from Him that I don't know, they really minister to me. And this morning it came to me. Faith is a mystery. It is a mystery which can only be explored, not explained. It can only be felt, not taught. The revelation of faith is expressed in works. Works are the revelation of its impulse. So faith is really quite contrary to how it's taught today. But faith is it's the power of God in you, moving you. And that's what I like about faith, is it takes you places you wouldn't go. But you have to grow in faith to allow it to take you to places you wouldn't go. So we've got one chapter in the scriptures that's devoted to faith, and hopefully everybody knows what that chapter is. It's Hebrews 11. And so we're going to get into some little technical Greek here, but it's because faith is a mystery that all the technical Greek in the world will not help you, but it helps to convey the nature of faith. So I was thinking of that today. The word nature is a powerful word, because nature is revealed to us by what something does. So like, you know, you got all these dog breeds. Well, there's natures that are involved in the dog breed. You look at the trees outside. Some trees lose their leaves in winter. Some trees lose their needles in winter. And some trees stay green all year round. So the nature of the tree is revealed in what? What it does. And so that's the aspect of Hebrews 11, when the apostle here is trying to communicate. And the book of Hebrews is written to a people who were getting cold in their walk. They were starting to crystallize, is the word I use. Their faith was becoming more of an intellectual commodity rather than a spiritual power. And there's always that necessity. Paul says in another place, examine yourselves. In the Greek there, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in faith. Not having some sort of I believe Jesus died for me. That isn't faith. That's a confession. But faith is the power of God, and by that very definition, you can't hold the power of God without revealing it. It's an impossibility. James says that. James says faith without works is the most impossible thing. You know, and he's talking, James in the book of Hebrews are talking to a people that are drawing back from God. So the precursor, because we once again go through the fact that there are no chapter divisions in these letters. So Paul, or the whoever wrote it, Hebrews, prefaces chapter 11 with, listen to this. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we have a teaching today that, oh, you've been born again, so, you know, you're done, one and done. But if you pick up the Greek, the meaning here, but of them that believe to the what? The saving of the soul. So like was shared earlier today, that believing is rescuing us from the things that bind us. Just because we've had a born-again experience doesn't mean we're not still got a few issues left in the closet. And so it's the believing unto what? The saving, the freeing of the soul from sin. The freeing of us from our selfishness. So Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave. Well, he's still wrapped in grave clothes. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he said, you guys take the grave clothes off him. You guys work with him to get all the stain and the odor and the trappings. So we work with one another in the realm of faith to the saving, to the utter freeing of our souls to live unto him. So now the apostle moves on from that thought process, and now he's going to set forth to us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to go into this a little bit. But what's the rest of the chapter telling us? When the apostle wants to set forth what faith is, he doesn't go, well, faith is believing that Jesus died for your sins. Faith is, you know, yada, yada, yada. That's not what he says here. When he's setting forth faith, he shows forth the evidence of faith in those who had faith by what? By what they did. You read all these verbs, right? I won't get into it. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah was moved with fear. By faith, Abraham left where he was and went to another place. What is faith? What is faith being revealed here? It's action. It's the impetus of the will of God in you. It's God moving you to the fulfillment of his purposes in you. So what did faith look like in Abel? Well, that same faith in Abraham produced a different moving. We're not copycats. Faith is here to produce the manifold glory and majesty of God. And what faith looks like in one is going to look different in another. But faith is always revealed. Faith is the impulse of God. So, you know, the wind that blows on the sailboat, what happens? The boat moves. And if there's no sail, the boat has no capacity to lay hold of the wind, and it stays at dock. And so faith, by its very nature, produces movement, produces the works of God. And it says in Galatians, King James says, faith which worketh by love. Faith which is made powerful through what? The compassion of God moving through you. And so what does that look like? I don't know. You tell me. What does that look like in you? That's the big question here. Is what does that faith begin to reveal in your daily life? That's where faith takes on power and expression. So we're going to... It's probably 15 years ago I was doing a Greek study on the word substance here. And because faith is the substance of things hoped for, I think the NIV or the ESV says faith is the nature, I believe. Faith is the assurance. Most translations will translate the word substance here as assurance and confidence. And that's really not what that word means. It has a little bit of that meaning, but that's not the the true nature. We're going to use that word a lot today. The true nature of what faith is. So just to really, when I first saw this, I was speechless and still am. But let's go to Hebrews. Keep Hebrews 11:1 open, but we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So, remember, okay, faith is the substance. Just remember that for a second. Keep that in your file opened. And now it's talking about who Jesus is, who being the brightness. ESV uses the word radiance. I like that. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his, I think most translations use the word nature there. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the word person there, the word nature used in other translations. What does the New King James say?
Person
is the same Greek word that is used for substance in Hebrews 11:1. Wow, when I read that, I just about fell out of my chair. And it blew me away then, and it still blows me away. So you could read this, you could then read this in a more correct way. Who being the radiance of his glory, the express image of God's, the Father's substance. See what faith, you know, the night Jesus walked into my room, faith was imparted to me. It was like the light came on and I was a whole new person because God breathed into me the substance of himself. And who is that substance? Christ. He breathed Christ. And everyone who's been born again is because God has breathed into them the Son. And we've got this idea in the church, unfortunately today, that eternal life is this thing I get when I die. It's where all who believe in Jesus, they have eternal life and they go live in heaven on Hallelujah Avenue in some house or something. I don't know. But that's not what that means. Eternal life, and Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you may know God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's the word know there means that I'm partaking of his substance. There is a transference of something very deep, powerful. It's a relationship, not a longevity of life. Eternal life is the true life. It is the life of the Son. He that hath the Son hath eternal life. The Son himself is the, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. If you want to have life, you got to maintain your relationship with Jesus. The branch and the vine, if I cut the branch off, it doesn't got eternal life anymore. It's now what? Disconnected from the one who is the life. And so the whole Christian experience is not about trying to get better. It's not trying to be able to, you know, grit your teeth and with me lose your temper. It's not, it's about abiding and growing in Christ. It's about him becoming the sum and the substance and the impetus in my life to express him in the world without. And so life is now a relationship. I have eternal life right now. I don't need to die before I have, I do need to die on to myself. But I do, eternal life isn't something, well, you'll get it as soon as you die. Well, no, I got it now because I have the Son in me. He that hath the Son hath, present tense, eternal life. Wow. And faith is part of that package. Faith comes with who? Him. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. This old grandma, I used to send her emails. She passed away. But she was on my email list, and I'd send emails to her. And she wrote back in response to something I was writing. I can't remember what it was. But she said she takes her grandkids, and she made pudding from scratch. So she would put all the ingredients for the pudding on the counter, and she looked at the kids, and she said, this is the evidence of the pudding we're going to make. This is the substance of the thing we're going to put together here. And she understood what faith was. Faith is the beginning of the end. It is the thing that as it gets combined together, it makes, as faith becomes combined in you, it produces the works and the shining forth of Christ. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 for a second. Little detour here. This is what's so important about seeing this as eternal life as a relationship, because it just says, they were overthrown in the wilderness, the children of Israel, because the word preached to them did not profit them, in that it was not, King James says, mingled with faith. See, the Word of God, we can teach it, we can preach it, we can write it down on a piece of paper, we can listen to it, but it will not profit you until it's mingled with the faith, the impetus of God in you. So what does it say? Faith cometh by what? Hearing the Word of God. And how do you, when you... You know, how do you hear the Word of God? Well, you can hear it from my lips. You can hear it from your lips, someone else's lips. That's not the hearing it's talking about. It's the hearing of the voice of the Son within you, impelling you to things you've never done before. It is, what did Jesus say about those who are born again? He said, the wind comes and blows. No one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it's going. But that faith is blowing, and the real purpose of God in you and I is to bring us to such an open heart that our hearts are the sail that catches the wind of the Spirit and begins to move us into the power and the works of God Himself. There is a wind blowing. There is a... He's always blowing. He's always speaking. He's always shining. But as you and I grow in our relationship with Him, we begin to catch the breeze of His Spirit, and we begin to move out in things that we've never done before. And you go like, how many, like Peter, I got to get out of the boat. Well, hey, Peter, how many times has that worked for you? That doesn't matter anymore. Faith will take you into a walk that you've never had. And everybody likes to maximize the, Peter began to sink. Well, no, forget that part. That's part of the outworking of faith. Faith will never allow you to rest in the faith you have. By nature, faith will always lead you into the need of a greater faith. So everybody goes, well, you start to sink, and they jump back into the pew. And you're like, no. You keep out there. You keep out there because Jesus will come. And He will sustain you. And so that came to me one time as reading that story, and God spoke to me as clear as a bell. He said, the faith that initiates the step is not great enough to sustain it. because faith ever leads you into a greater dependency on the life of the Son within. So don't get shook if you start feeling the water up to your knees. You're right where God wants you. You're right where He wants you. And so faith ever leads you into a greater dependency upon Him who, what is one of His names? What is one of the names of Jesus? He's the author and the perfecter. That's His name. That's who He is. He's here to author faith, and He's here to perfect it. So the faith that gets out of the boat, who authored that? Well, I guarantee you that didn't come up in Peter's mind. Who originated that thought in Peter? Jesus did. And who came to Peter's rescue? Who came to sustain it? And that's the work of Christ in you, is to author faith and to sustain it and to perfect it. And so I love, faith is substance. A man or a woman who has faith are people that have substance in them. All the world is going crazy, they're not. Paul's a prisoner bound on a prisoner ship of the Romans. They got this huge storm. It got so bad, it says they threw off all the tackle. They stopped trying to steer the ship. It says that right in there. And then one night, Jesus visits Paul. He's got a word for the situation. He looks at the centurion who's in charge of the whole thing. He says, anybody who leaves the ship dies. He's got a word from God. Here's a man with substance. And now the centurion, the guy in charge, is listening to Paul. Because he's found the substance of God in a man. And he trusts it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Greek word there, substance. Now we're getting into the fun part. It's made up of two Greek words. And the first Greek word has a sense of like a concrete foundation. Under. It speaks of something you stand upon. And but it also means to be set in place. It also means to, and I was thinking of that today. I was actually thinking of what that Greek word means. I'm not doing it justice, but it made me think of the scripture in 1 Timothy 1:12, where Paul says, because I was faithful, God put me into the ministry. The word put there is the same Greek word. So it's one half of the definition of the word substance. So Paul was placed into the ministry. Ministration is a better word there. Because God found him what? Faithful. Full of faith. Faithful means full of faith. That sounds like some real deep teaching, right? It's not very deep. It means you hold faith in all your circumstances. You hold faith. So like you having a bad day the other day, you go, I'm still going to praise Him. Well, that's faith holding you to be able to do that. That's an expression of faith. So the ability to worship God in that situation is a work of faith. And we get the wrong meaning from the word work. The Greek word for work is where we get the word energy. Energia is the Greek word. Translated works in the New Testament. And so if you picture a light bulb, you can have the light bulb, the old light bulb, even the neon or the LEDs we have today work on the same principle. It's this little tiny filament filled with a special little gas, and you can have it all perfectly wired. You got it all the way back to the switch. So you can have all your doctrines right. You got all your teachings wrapped up. You can pretty well take the Jehovah Witness on when he comes to the door. You're ready for him. But that isn't light. Light is when the power flows through the filament. What happens? Light shines. So that's where I love the word substance here. It is the power, it's the essence of God moving in you, producing in you his works, not your works, you know. This power that flows through that little tiny filament, which is you and I, helpless, hopeless in ourselves, God says, I'm going to take that little filament. I'm going to take that miserable little person and I'm going to flow through him. And all of a sudden we have light. Isn't that just, man, that just, you know, because the enemy is always going, you're just a dumb little filament. You go, absolutely correct. And faith is the flowing of God forth, the flowing forth of God through a human element. It's ridiculous. And it's absolutely amazing. So Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the glory may be of him. So quit looking at yourself. Quit taking inventory going, I'm just a schlep. I never get this right. I get rid of the I. Faith is the substance of God in you. It is the power. It is the energy. And he's looking for is a thin element to flow through. And the lower the resistance in the element, the more power flows through it. And so that whole thing is all about learning to yield yourself to the life of the vine. The vine's going, hey, branch, you want to bear fruit? You know, like we read in Book of Revelation, in heaven, this is in the heavens. What are they crying out? Give him power. I used to go, what do you mean give him power? Jesus said, all power is given to me. But no, he's saying you give him power. You let him flow through you. You take out all the resistances of your life to him. Give him power over your life. It's a life of surrender. It's a life of yielding ourselves unto the one that can make us shine far beyond anything we've ever comprehended. It's not about what you know. It's about you allowing him to flow. How about there's another one of those little rhymes? And it's about his flow in you that determines the shining forth of him through you. And so faith is a mystery. Well, how do I solve this mystery? Get out of the boat. You want to solve? What does faith look like in you? That's the mystery. What does faith look like in you? God's not interested in your, you know, description of some mechanical or intellectual dissertation on New Testament truths. He's interested in you stepping into the mystery of his faith in you. So let's go to Galatians 2:20 for a second. There's all these little, you know, the Word of God is just full of all kinds of little phrases that you might read 100 times and all of a sudden one day it jumps out and slaps you. So listen to what Paul says here and we'll, in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's true. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, See, those are big words. Now, that's a big word. That is, if, like if is a huge word in the New Testament. Now is another one of those. Now is one of those words that take you out of your theoretical, quote, teaching. Now brings you into the now. It brings you into the everyday. And the life which I now live in what? The flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God. Ooh. We're going back again. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, Jesus is the radiance of the Father, paraphrasing. Can't paraphrase it. Go back to Hebrews 1 3. So put all three of these together and let the faith of God begin to flow in you. Who being the brightness? Being means present tense. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his substance. God is bringing you, his desire for you is for you to be a revelation of the substance of the Father. Woo! Paul says, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So I'm going to just take us to John 6:28 to build on that. And I'm throwing an awful lot at you. But I pray before sharing these things that the Word of God percolates in your heart, that you hold on to these things and allow them as seeds to drop into the soil of your own heart. Because the seed has to grow out of your heart. You know, in a garden, you'll plant carrots, you'll plant all kinds of different things. Well, that seed falling into you is going to produce something that isn't going to be like the person sitting next to you, even though it might be your husband or your wife. Nevertheless, faith has come, past tense. In the face of Jesus Christ, faith has come. And so when Jesus gave the parable of faith, he said it's like a mustard seed that falls into the ground and grows. And in time, what happens? The fowls of the air come and find rest. God's purpose is for faith to so grow in you, it brings you into rest, and it brings others. It brings the rest. That's part of what salvation means, is rest. It takes all the anguish and the striving and the condemnation out of the heart and fills it with peace. So in John 6:28-29, you know, if you ever start looking at it, it'll suck you right in. The Greek will suck you right in because of what it really says, and you know, you can't be hard on the translators, because I began to realize that to translate the thoughts of one, you got to know the one. You know, you can read the Greek word, but when you start getting to know the one who spoke the word, then you begin to comprehend it better. That's my take anyway. So this is a little take off of where Peter walked on the water. It's interesting. John doesn't list Peter's walking on the water. But each gospel has a specific thing it's trying to portray to us. But anyway, Jesus lands on the other side. And these people look at Jesus. Jesus has been ministering. And they look at him. And this is going to be the same question you ask yourself. Here's the question. This is the question of a true heart. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Isn't that in your heart? You're going like, what? I want, you know, there's something in your heart that wants to do, wants to reveal, wants to be caught up in the works of God. I mean, that's a powerful question. And listen to the answer here, Jesus says. And you won't really appreciate it. I think there's one or two translations. There's the one translation that really brings out the thought of God in this is the literal translation by Green. But Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." And you're like, what? What? But the Greek word used on, where, I don't know, what does it say in the ESV and some of the other translations?
Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who
yeah, a lot of translations will use the word in here, which is a lot closer than on, in the King James here. Literally, the Greek word is eis, E-I-S. And it means into. How do we do the work of God? What is Jesus saying? You believe into him who God has sent. So in your believing into him, what happens? The faith of God, the faith of the Son begins to be your faith. Because you're not believing on something external. This is a faith that's becoming internal. You're believing into the substance, into the wonder, into the power, into the heart, into the person whom God has sent into you. What did Jesus say? Greater works shall you do? Whoo! Why? Because I go to my Father. And Jesus is here to breathe into you. Don't settle for a life that isn't impacting others. Don't get impatient like I do with myself, because it's a growing process. But that growing process has to be real. Like, look at the changes in the little one here. I mean, from 1 week to the next, you just think they switched babies out. But why is there change happening? Because there's growth happening. Change is the evidence of life. God has not called us to static living. He's called us into his own dynamic. And so let the dynamic of God begin to resonate in you. One last thought here. I'm throwing a lot at you guys, but I trust the Spirit of God. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:6. This is just in finishing up. So keep that question alive in your heart. What shall we do to do the works of God? The answer of Jesus is believing into him, not on him. Into him. So Hebrews 11:6, and then I promise we'll finish here. So Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? Without faith,
it is impossible to please
impossible.
God.
Impossible. Without the divine enablement, all your striving, all of your wanting to do something is vain. Because faith is the power. Faith is the impetus. Faith is the breath of God in you. So, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So here's something faith produces. It might be better translated, for he that seeks God, he that is drawn of God, he that is pursuing God, must believe that he is, right? You don't pursue something that doesn't exist. But to know that he exists without seeking him, it's impossible. It's impossible for faith to reside in an individual that doesn't seek him. Faith produces the seeking, the searching, the thirsting, the hungering, all of these wonderful things that are not so pleasant in the heart at times. Hungering, there's nothing really pleasant about hungering. But that's the work of faith in you. Because that faith wants to bring you what? Into Christ. Faith isn't satisfied with you here and Christ over there. Faith is the power of God to unite you in Christ. So, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that pursues God, comes to God, is drawn of God, whatever word you want to put in there. What does these other translations say?
This is 11:7, I guess.
11:6. What does yours say? Faith.
Whoever would draw near to God.
Yeah, draw near to God.
Comes.
That's the word I'm looking for. Comes. Okay. So, draw. See, there's faith will draw you into relationship with Christ, because it believes that he is. Anything in you that causes you to seek God, you go, that's the faith of my Savior seeking relationship with me. That's the greatest sign of the love of God, is when you want him. That's a grace in itself. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh, he that draws near, pursues God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, you know, you're seeking God and you feel as dry today as you did yesterday. Keep seeking God. Because faith believes he's going to reward you for your seeking. And so, no, you don't go by feelings. Faith takes you out of that whole sick realm of up and down days. You know, it's just, you know, that's what I love about faith. Faith is synonymous with seeking God. And so, end up with this one last little quote out of Romans 1:17, I think it is. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto the faith. So wherever you are in your faith, there will be a certain amount of righteousness revealed in your walk. Because it takes faith to reveal righteousness. The righteousness of the new covenant is far higher than anything you and I could produce. Faith is the power of God to do. I just pray that these are seeds falling into some fertile soil, and that God would get the increase and the glory and the get out of the boat experience in each of us. I'm speaking to myself. I'm nowhere satisfied with things, which is good. I'm glad.